hard is it, though, to prove plagiarism in music? Let's catch up with Michael Easton. He is an entertainment lawyer. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you make of these claims against Led Zeppelin and Stairway to Heaven?
As in, is it an infringement?
Yeah, or how tough will it be to prove that it is?
Well, look, I mean, there's a number of different things that they would have to prove. Firstly, they would have to prove that it is a reproduction, that it has been copied. That would include both the opportunity to copy, and I think the Spirit song was written before Stairway to Heaven, so they clearly had an opportunity to copy. Was it copied? One of the things that the court looks at in their trial, look, this is the situation under Australian law, and we presume it's fairly similar under American law, is have they reproduced a substantial part of the original work? And that's really the key question here. I mean, clearly there's an objective similarity. I don't think you need to be a musicologist to acknowledge that.
No, you're like, oh, it's still going to heaven. Oh, hang on, no, it's not.
So I think that's pretty clear cut. So I guess the question is that a substantial part of both songs? I mean, sorry, is that a substantial part of the Spirit song? The answer there is probably yes. A defence might be you might attack the originality of the Spirit song. For instance, you might claim that it's some well-known musical figure. You might find a song from the Baroque period that used a descending set of chords or whatever that is.
Okay.
And you might attack the originality of the piece of music. So in a sense, both of you have borrowed from something that was pre-existing. Or you might look at, as I said before, are you just borrowing a little motif or have you actually copied a substantial part of the original song?
As a lawyer dealing with a case like this or any other case like this, I mean, we don't necessarily need to talk about to this one. If you were going to try and reference a song from years back, you said Baroque before, how many hours would lawyers in the music industry spend listening to music trying to find something similar?
Well, I mean, our opinion in that regard is not any better than anyone else's. So they'd probably engage, a musicologist, someone who's got sort of expertise in the area.
Mm. Apparently there have been claims for years. Why would it take so long to get these things to the courts?
My understanding in this case was it was a simple lack of resources. Apparently the guitarist there was so poor he used to play the sitar in Indian restaurants for food. So you don't mount a court case like that without the resources to pursue it.
If he is really sure that this is his song, imagine busting out the riff to his song, Taurus, on the sitar in Indian restaurants and people saying, oh, is that a cover of Stairway to Heaven?
I know, that would be ignominious.
Now, I've got a few examples of where there have been court cases that have been successful, and I'll play them soon. But how common is it? I mean, it was just recently that Men at Work lost their battle over the riff of Land Down Under.
The big case in Australia on that subject. I mean, that's an interesting case in terms of why that case was commenced in 2010 or whenever it was, when the original hit was in the mid-80s.
Remind us of that.
Well, the answer is actually to do with the ABC. The story I've heard is that it was a question on Sticks and Specs. Which famous Australian hit references the children's song Kookaburra? And the answer being, Men at Work, Down Under. And then they received a lawsuit shortly thereafter.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because bands often openly talk about their influences.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those. I think it's one of those areas where the sort of black and white area of law rubs fairly uncomfortably against how art actually works. Yeah. I mean, any musician will tell you that they borrow and they're influenced and they quote, and there's a long history of that. And, the law operates, is it an infringement or not, when I don't think art operates in that way.
Yeah. I've read all sorts of things today about this, and there's one song from Lady Gaga, and I'll play you this in a minute, and people say that it sounds a lot like a Madonna song. And in some reports, Madonna says that she's a bit miffed about it, and others she says that she's honoured that she's been an influence.
I mean, you could pick a million examples of that.
Yeah. How likely is it that that someone is actually going to go after the other person?
Well, I think there's a whole lot of factors that would go into that. I mean, obviously,
if you're playing the sitar in Indian restaurants,
they're more likely to sue for a Led Zeppelin song than a song I wrote. There's the
well, we don't know
the economic incentive. Look, there could be a million reasons. I mean, I think a lot of big artists, I mean, Led Zeppelin have form in this area. They've actually had to settle a few previous cases for songs like Whole Lotta Love and Dazed and Confused. You know, and they work within the blues tradition, which I guess, you know, has a long history of, on the one hand, you could say rich white rock stars ripping off poor black ones, or people quoting each other, whichever version you prefer. So someone like Led Zeppelin might be unlikely to sue if they've got a bit of, you know, dirty laundry themselves. I mean, you know, there's no hard and fast rules in this area. I think, you know, each case is separate and has to be looked at in its own situation.
How often would they come across your desk?
It's actually very rare. You know, Kookaburra was a case. I can't really think of a. It's uncommon. It's not the sort of thing that we deal with day in and day out.
Mm. Interesting stuff, and I'm sure the conversation will continue. Michael Easton, thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Michael Easton is an entertainment lawyer in Australia.